Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yes, it is Waitley on this Anzac Day Thursday. Adam White filling in for Jared for the next hour or so. We're now going to talk some round ball action because Lee Broxham has retired after 459 games for Melbourne Victory across all competitions. He'll finish this season, but it's all coming to an end. And he joins us on SEN. Lee, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it's finally ending. When did you come to this realisation?
I guess it's the way the season's panned out for myself personally and, yeah, the last few months, just thinking about it gradually and, yeah, in the last few weeks it was, just kind of come to the conclusion and let everyone know, let the players know, let staff know, I guess, what I was thinking over the last few months. So, yeah.
How do you feel about it as you sort of now, as you let people know and everyone wants to congratulate you and reflect on your career as we're going to do now. How are you feeling about it?
I mean, I guess, you know, seeing some comments from some of our supporters and members that have been around since I've been around, I guess, you know, it's a bit sad. You know, I'd love to play forever, of course, but, it's mixed emotions, you know, you're up and down a little bit. You're sad that you're not going to be able to run out on a pitch many more times, but, you know, excited for doing something else as well and, you know, happy for what I've been able to achieve. So it's just a range of emotions, but it's I'm sure it's the same for most people and, I think the next month or so will be a bit of a roller coaster ride, but, I guess that's just what it is.
You've achieved so much. Is there one thing that stands out that you're most proud of?
I think it's just achieving, you know, the ultimate success of the club, being able to lift trophies with the club. The platform gave me an opportunity to go to an Olympics as well and, represent the national team ever so briefly. But, you know, these are things you dream of as a kid. So, I think it's the whole journey has been, it's been a privilege, and I've just met some awesome people along the way as well.
So I think it's 459 games you've played for Melbourne Victory, and there's 384 A-League games. But for it to all be at the same club, when in the world of a professional footballer, generally speaking, you played a lot of different clubs across the journey. Yeah. But for you to do it all at the one club, how significant is that for you?
It just felt normal for me, you know, like year after year, I'm just staying at the club, you know, it's just kind of what happens, I guess, you know. But I think, you know, I'll reflect back maybe in a few years' time and sort of see how big it is, you know, in the current game. And, you have a lot of ambitious players and clubs trying to be, go about their business in a savvy way too. So there's a lot of factors where, you know, players move on or don't. So it's, getting very difficult for players to stay at clubs for such a long time. So I guess, you know, the comments now, I'm starting to realise that. Like I said, it's been a privilege for me to stay so long and have amazing supporters that, you know, whatever drama or controversy we've had over the years, you know, the next year they're back there again. So it's, it's pretty amazing and, I feel very honoured.
Is loyalty important to you in the way you go about your life, not just about your football, or was it more the fact that they desperately wanted to keep you all the time because you were such a good, dependable, consistent player for the Victory?
Yeah, I mean, when things have come up, it's, you know, it's not really considered as much, you know, I think, especially after, you know, once I turned 30, you know, or once I had the kids and stuff, we were set up and, you know, it was almost just a walk into the office handshake agreement that we'll go again next year on similar salary and let's go ahead, you know. So it's kind of just business as usual to Yeah, and I guess when I was younger, there was a lot more unknowns, you know, like all the young kids coming up and, you know, there's a lot of coach changes and, you know, it's got a little bit less certainty then. But, you know, my parents, my friends, my family have been able to come watch me play football, which not everyone gets if you ask footballers. You know, sometimes they're out in the world by themselves and no one comes to see the games. I've been really lucky to be able to do that in my hometown where I grew up. And, yeah, it's been awesome to me.
We're talking to Lee Broxham, who has decided to hang up the boots. He's played, as it stands, 384 A-League games for the Melbourne Victory, more than anybody else. Lee, I'm interested in some of the coaches that you've had across the journey, because with the Melbourne Victory comes some pretty high-profile coaches, Ange Postecoglou, Kevin Muscat, Ernie Merrick, even the coach that you've got now. Is one of the biggest in the game. Take us through some of the similarities and the differences and the ones that impressed you the most. I'll put you under the pump.
Yeah, I guess, you know, all the names that you mentioned and, you know, current coach as well, I think, just their attention to detail along the way and their desire to success and their work ethic, coming with... their football knowledge, of course, you know, just really put them in good stead to be successful, I think. You know, with all the coaches we've had, you know, they all have their own way of how they view football and how they go about it and all the little details that they have, which has been really great for me to learn along the way. You know, I still remember all the details from all the different coaches. And, it's just been, you know, their desire to success, their work ethic, their commitment, you know, and that together with how they know the game. It's, no surprise that, you know, they're all being successful.
Ange Postecoglou is obviously he is now the highest profile coach that you've played under with what he's doing now at Tottenham. Back then, I think you were 24 when he was coaching you. What was he like as a coach and to you at that time?
I mean, he was he knew his stuff. You know, he's very very demanding. He wanted things done in a certain way, and you know, as you see now with him, how he does it at Tottenham, it's, you know, it's his way or the highway. So you know, it was the same back then. You know, obviously, you know, that was 10 years ago or 12 years ago, and I'm sure he's matured and learned a lot along the way as a coach. But I imagine a lot of his fundamental beliefs are still pretty similar. And, it was great. You know, it was only a brief 18 months or so he was all together there, but it was, it was insightful, and you always knew that the way, you know, his self-belief and the way he put together a team and gave you belief that you always felt like you were going to succeed, and no surprises, continued to succeed.
I was going to ask you about that. Did you think at the time that he could one day be a manager of one of the top teams in England, and that those philosophies would carry through to one of the top leagues?
I don't think that thought ever crossed my mind at the time. I think, you know, if you were to say it then, I don't think many people would believe you. Just the time you're in, you don't sort of think that far ahead. You sort of know that success wherever he goes, and you know that it's limited. You don't see many Aussie coaches sort of going on and getting opportunity, with sort of the perception, I guess, of Australian coaches and footballers overseas sometimes. So you know, when he took the national team job, you knew he was ambitious, and you knew he was good. And I guess, you know, taking jobs like that and going to Japan and being so successful, that doors were going to continue to open, and they have. So I wouldn't say I was certain he's going to be Tottenham manager, but, you know, wouldn't be happier for he's been a pioneer for Australian football and coaches.
And what about Kevin Muscat and that time? Because you were a teammate of Kevin's at the Victory, and then he then goes and coaches the team and coaches you. I'd be interested in that dynamic of, it doesn't happen a lot where your teammate becomes your coach.
Yeah, I mean, big age gap between us, but we, you know, as a group, we got along really well, and, you know, I got along really well with Kevin. We're good friends when we're playing. You know, he mentored me at the start as well, you know, to help prepare me for life as a footballer, and, yeah, you know, become assistant coach, so there's sort of that, still have that bit of a connection as assistant coach, but then, yeah, you know, you sort of started losing a person in football a little bit. You have to distance yourself, and then once you're head coach, it's kind of, yeah, you had a little bit of banter more than some of the others maybe, but, you know, it's, you lost a friend, you lost someone that you kind of got along with, because that's how it had to be as a head coach. It's a, you know, it's a lonely gig, and that's just what it is. Yeah, the transition sort of year where he went into assistant coach, and that was still a bit of fun, but after that, you know, it's, yeah, he was coach and I was player. Maybe I was a bit cheeky here and there where others couldn't be, but apart from that, it was, yeah, it was, you know, it was great for him, but, you know, he sort of lost. You still get that contact, still speak to him now, but, you know, it's at that time, it was a little bit different, of course.
So, four championships at the Melbourne Victory, but I wanted to ask you about the 2015 time where you won the grand final. You scored famously in that game against Sydney FC. I say famously because there's only seven goals over 384 games, but you certainly knew when to score them. But just that, was that the best team that you were part of with the Victory? It felt that that year you were almost invincible.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be one of them. I think people really do forget about the you know, the 06, 07 team as well. You know, that was a team that, you know, only won the league by December, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Won the first seven games straight, you know. So I always compare it to probably that team, I think. And the 2014-15 team was, yeah, just a great group of people. Desire for success, yeah, I didn't come without it, you know, headbutting because everyone wanted to win and do well. And yeah, just our foreign signings come in were amazing. You know, we had a few Socceroos come back at the time, and yeah, it was just a really, really great team. You know, stayed pretty injury free, and yeah, it just felt like, you know, halfway through the season, there was no way we weren't going to win the league at the end of the year. And, you know, that final in 2015 was, yeah, you know, I think I watched it back for the first time, I think about a year ago with my son, and didn't realise, never watched it back before that, and, you know, we absolutely killed him in that final, and just sort of made me realise how good some of the players we were, and how well they played.
Absolutely. Couple more before we let you go. The best player? Is that too hard to ask? You play with a lot of good ones.
I said the other day, you know, because we're a Melbourne Victory, and, you know, we attract a lot of high-profile players, and, you know, the club has spent money on bringing players in. There's been a lot of great ones, so, you know, it's really can't pinpoint any one player, you know. There's been so many, been lucky to have so many good ones played with. And, you know, with our success, we played in the Champions League too, and, you know, attracting players to come play Champions League, and, yeah, players we played against in the Champions League has been unreal as well, so, yeah, I've been privileged to play with some of the great players that have had great careers and contributed to the club really well.
What can you do this year? You've sewn up a spot in the finals, so it's still a live chance that you could have the absolute fairy tale finish. Is it a realistic chance?
Yeah, well, when you think about the final process, I guess, you know, we're guaranteed a home final now, preliminary final, however you want to build the quarter final. You know, which is a home advantage. It's obviously a final, so it's going to be tough. But, you know, you get through that, and then you have a home and away semi-final where anything can happen again. So, yeah, it's we're definitely in a good spot. You know, would we like to have a rest round one, of course, but, you know, we put ourselves in a position where, you know, we won from in 2018, so we know we can do it, we know it's possible, and, yeah, I think it's focusing on a good result this weekend, building that into the next final. And, you know, as we know, you're not always in these positions, so, you know, we're going to grab it with two hands and give it everything we have.
Now, Lee, you do realise that when you retire, you're going to have to do a lot more around the house with your triplets. You're not going to have the excuse, I've got to go to got to go to training or I've got to focus on my football. It's going to be a big change for you.
I've still got to work. I've got to have a couple of months off, but I still have to work. But I've been hands-on the whole time anyway, you know. Like, I've had no choice. I've had to, you know, dive full in and help the kids. And, you know, they're getting a lot better now. They're getting a lot older. You know, they're part of my goal to keep playing until they understood what I did and enjoyed coming to the games. And, I think being able to go so long, it's been a credit to my wife Sam as well. She's steadied the ship at home and made sure that, you know, I've got a clear mind when I'm leaving the house to be able to continue playing. You know, each year we say, you know, should I go again? It become a family decision the last sort of 3 or 4 years. So you know, she's always given me full support, and I've been able to go so long, I think. So bottom line, I think I'll still be washing the same amount of dishes, don't worry.
Sam has been fantastic, and you have as well, Lee. A terrific career. I love the fact that it's all at the one club and you've broken so many records along the way. Congratulations on the career, and hopefully there are still a few more games left as the A-League gets to the most important part of the season. Thanks for joining us on SEN and reflecting back on your career.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for all the support over all the years too. It's been awesome.
No problems at all. Lee Broxman joining us there on SEN.